You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Take About Podcast. I'm Sydney Lucas.
And I'm Eli Tokash.
Welcome to our 15th episode, everyone.
Yes, we're very excited. Guys, this is going to be a very, very special month for this podcast, and we have some incredible guests lined up, and we're going to start that today with our 15th episode. You may or may not know by the title now, we have Ian Armitage on the podcast today, and we talk about his love for Hamilton and theater in general, his current show that he's in, Young Sheldon, and all of that good stuff. So we're excited.
So Eli and I have known Ian. When I was in Funhomen, when Eli was in Finding Neverland, because Ian would always visit the theaters. And
I knew Ian from Pippin.
Oh, you knew Ian from
Neverland. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a long time ago. So yeah, Ian would just like come visit the theaters, and he was like, everyone just loves Ian so much. He, first of all, he's like an adult in a child's body. He always has been. He's so smart and so mature and just the sweetest person in the world. And we love him and we love his parents. And
yes.
Yeah, literally. I mean, like, he even came to like my last show in Funhomen, and he just like kind of like celebrated with us and was there for like my final autograph line, and he's just always so like, just everyone just loves being around him. He's so positive, and we are so excited to have him on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys will probably get this from listening to him, but he has such a special aura around him, and he's like so knowledgeable, and he's like, literally, we can't stress how smart he is. Like,
literally,
for those, also like a little background before you listen to it, he was like a quote unquote theater critic, who of course was the nicest theater critic, which is why he would always come to the shows. But every actor would never forget him, because he was this tiny little kid who was never shy to ask questions, and he had these tap shoes on, so he would always ask you to dance. Like, he's just like the cutest and outgoing and smartest kid that like we knew, and we would never forget him. So
yeah,
we were excited to reconnect with him.
I mean, Funhomen, it's a pretty intense story. It's a pretty intense show. So when we heard that like a 7-year-old was going to be coming, and if we saw a 7-year-old in the audience, to not be alarmed, like, so we're like, oh, okay, this is going to be interesting. But then we met Ian and we're like, oh, he's like, and then I watched his like video after it, like when he reviewed Funhomen, and just, I don't know, the depth of his understanding of the show, and you know how he recognized the importance of the show, was just mind-boggling to me. I'm like, he's like 7 years old, how is he this smart? But seriously, he's like one of the smartest people.
Just quickly, on top of being like a theater critic, he was also like always interview actors, so it was, we talked a little bit about this in the episode, but it was really cool to like get to interview him for once and get to talk about his love for theater and like his journey and how he started in theater and stuff like that. So it was really cool, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, it was like a whole full circle moment. Well,
yeah.
Without further ado, Ian Armitage, curtain up.
On today's episode of Take a Bow, we have America's favorite theater critic, who is now starring as the title role in Young Sheldon, starting at the young age of 8. We have the super uber talented Ian Armitage.
Yay! Hi. Welcome to the podcast, Ian.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Every time I'm with my mom and I love listening to your podcast.
No way!
we have a little like sleepover thing. So your podcast.
That's thank the coolest.
You.
Thank you so much, Ian. That means so much. How have you been? What have you been doing during quarantine?
Well, mostly I've been doing a lot of jumping on my trampoline. I've been trying to stay kind of I've been trying to get a good balance between watching TV and exercising.
I love it.
So I've been doing a lot of Taekwondo.
Ooh.
Yes, I've been learning Russian. I've been bouncing on the trampoline a lot. Hanging out with my hamster.
You have a hamster? Mama. Oh my God.
This is amazing.
Ian, no way. I'm literally about to learn Russian, like in a couple of days. So you and I have to like practice together.
Wait, from who?
Well, I'm learning on an application called Pimsleur because I'm like super into like learning languages, but I have no one to speak with. So we're going to have to speak. We'll practice together. Do you have someone who like speaks Russian that you can talk to?
Well, my teacher, Miss Mora on Young Sheldon, has a friend named Miss Marina who's super awesome. And she speaks like 50 bajillion languages. She's a black belt in Taekwondo. She's crazy. She's amazing. But anyway, we've been doing Russian together. We've been doing Zoom calls. And we've been doing Russian and math.
I love it.
So she's giving you like little tutoring sessions in Russian.
Yeah, she's really awesome.
People like that, amazing.
Is she teaching you math in Russian?
Oh, no.
No. Not there yet. Wait, I have two questions to follow up with that. A, can you do a flip on a trampoline? And B, what color belt are you in Taekwondo?
Love those questions. Oh my God. Okay, I can do a flip on the trampoline. One of my favorite flips to do is I recently learned how to do a backdrop on the trampoline where you land on your back.
Oh. So
it was flip and then land on my back and then stand up because it's easier. It looks cooler, but it's actually really easy. Easier than feet. And also, if you do that, you can do that. You know when people just keep flipping in a row?
Yeah.
You flip, land on your back, your feet, flip, land on your back, your feet, and just keep going.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
That's so fun.
And what color belt are you?
Oh, and also the belt. My brain during quarantine is
same.
My belt is a first brown belt, so it's half black, half brown.
Oh my God. That's so exciting.
That's very advanced. How long have you been doing Taekwondo?
I've been doing it since I was 8 years.
8 years.
Wow.
Almost a decade. Are you still tapping? Crazy.
I am definitely tapping. I never
stopped tapping. That makes my heart happy.
We actually had Anthony Rosenthal on, and he said that he actually gave you a few of his old tap shoes.
Anthony is amazing.
Yeah, Anthony is the best.
He is like awesome. He visited actually. I think he visited the set of Young Sheldon a while ago, about a year ago.
He did.
He is absolutely incredible, and he has some pretty amazing tap shoes. And I must say, I think he uses shoe spray because they always smell amazing.
Oh, really? Well, that's good. We don't want any stinky feet.
Yeah.
Young shoes always sound kind of scary, but he takes good care of his taps.
Hey, perfect. Can't complain.
That's good to know.
Good hand-me-downs, right?
Yeah. Well, I've been tapping since before I started Taekwondo. I've been saying I've been tapping since I was born, but I've been tapping since I was 2 years old. So I guess I could come up with like a new martial art that's a mixture of tapping and martial arts.
Awesome. You're going to have to write a musical of Taekwondo and tapping.
Yes.
And incorporate the two.
Tapperson. No.
I love it.
That's incredible.
Oh my God.
Feel the wrath of my tap shoes.
That's awesome.
I've already got a fight scene planned, so.
Oh. Oh, I can't wait for this. This is going to be so exciting.
kick left again.
Oh, Coors Line action here.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like the Rockettes. Like I was saying, right? I was like thinking it's
awesome.
Like,
yeah, this is amazing,
interesting, right?
Hamilton references, Coors Line references, Rockettes. So.
Right, you got the kicks, you got the tapping.
Yeah.
You're a Rockette in the making.
That's it. The three of us are writing a musical. I've decided. Oh my gosh, this is so much fun. Okay. So, Ian, you obviously have an undying love for theater, and you called yourself Ian Loves Theater when you were a theater critic. You instantly caught people's attention when you would go see shows and would review shows because your knowledge and your positivity and all of that, people instantly fell in love with you. So that being said, what got you into theater and what inspired you to start recording?
Well, first of all, I still am a theater critic. I am
Via, that's
all the
what
way.
You'll always be.
I'm sure literally everyone listening to this podcast agrees, because if you don't like theater, why are you listening to the best theater podcast ever? Theater, I think, you know, I mean, I am an actor now, and first of all, I really want to act on stage. I love acting on screen, but I really want to act on stage. And then also, I've always just kind of loved going to the theater. I mean, I like watching movies, I like watching TV, but I think my favorite form of entertainment by far is theater, because it's just, you know, it's a little bit different every time you see it. You can watch the same theater show over 100 times and never get tired of it. Also, a lot of times people think of critics as like, oh, critics. That's why I'm a reviewer, not a critic. Yeah, I always love being positive about things I love. So theater is one of the things I love most. And I love reviewing, I love singing, tapping, acting, all those things. So
that's what we loved about you so much. You were always like so positive about it. You always had something nice to say. Going off of that, you said you would want to act on stage before. Do you have a specific role you would want to play? Have you thought about that?
Oh my goodness. So for the longest time, I said every show I've ever seen rolled up into one character. And I still go by that answer.
An infinity character.
Infinity character. It'd be like an hours long performance, though.
Oh my God. I would love to see that, though.
Yeah, same.
5 minutes of every show in existence would be at least 3 days. Because
yeah,
we go back to like ancient Rome. Anyway, Phantom of the Opera, maybe. Because
Phantom of the Opera?
Alexander Hamilton, because I know every single word.
Fair, yeah.
Maybe Pippin. There's so many good characters. Evan Hansen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
There's so many good characters. You guys are so mean. You're making me cheat.
Do you have like a type of character that you would want to play?
I would like to actually play a villain, because I've heard playing villains is very fun. I'm not a positive person, but it would be fun to play a villain.
I can't see you being like a villain. You're just so, you're too nice and bubbly.
That's exactly why I would want to see him play a villain, because he's like the most positive person in the world.
I'm so intrigued now.
It's like, I'm going to twirl my mustache in a very bright way.
You would be like the antagonist that really is like the protagonist.
This is my doom ray of glitter.
You always went to go see shows in your tap shoes.
Hey, what? I still do.
You still do. I love it.
I can't see any shows, but respect the taps.
How did that happen? Never changed. Did you just like randomly wear taps one day?
Well, first of all, it's a lot louder than just clapping. So I can really show how much I love a show.
Oh.
I never thought of it. You were that's so innovative.
Yeah. And then second of all, whenever I go to see a show, oftentimes we'll go backstage, and a lot of awesome musical theater has tap dancing.
Uh-huh.
So if the people started tap dancing, I'd just be kind of like, can I join in? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was kind of born out of necessity. I really wanted to show how much I loved the theater. So I had to be able to be louder than all the other people.
Aw, I love that. What an answer.
Tap shoes, that was my thing.
I absolutely love that. I loved seeing you. You visited Fun Home a lot. And you also, the year that, 2015, you were Perez Hilton's correspondent on the Tony Awards red carpet, which, first of all, by the way, I was so relieved to see another kid there, by the way, because there were so many, like, the craziest adults, like, around us and, like, just the biggest people ever. And when I saw you, I just remember like taking a sigh of relief, like, oh my gosh, there's another kid here. But what was it like going to the Tony Awards after like entire I can only imagine you've watched the Tony Awards before doing that. What was it like going to the Tony Awards and like interviewing people on the red carpet?
Every single year I've watched the Tony Awards. I love the Tony Awards. I mean, I love musical theater, and then at the Tony Awards, you get to see like a song from every show that's nominated, so it's awesome. It was kind of insane. I remember I did that for a while, actually, for like a couple years. I think like maybe three or four Tony seasons. But anyway,
incredible.
I have to remember we would walk to the red carpet and I would be in my tuxedo. I think actually my first tuxedo was like a magician's costume online that we had like tailors.
That's awesome. Oh my God.
So anyway, but I remember walking there and we stopped at like a La Panquitidian or something so I could like use the restroom. And I just remember thinking, I am the luckiest kid in the world. I'm going to get to go interview amazing people who have been in these shows that I admire so much. These people who I look up to, these people who I want to be when I grow up. And I'm just going to get to watch it all unfold. It's awesome. So, you know, walking through there and being able to show my appreciation, I think, is the main thing. Because a lot of people get to see, you know, a show, but I've always felt glad that I can review and, you know, show how much I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that at such a young age, you were just like thinking of how lucky you were. That's like, I mean, you've always been an adult in a human, in a child body. Always.
Old soul, young heart.
That's yeah. Always, right. always a young heart. Yeah.
Young mind too.
I don't mind young heart.
Very mature. It.
My mind's here. My heart's up here.
Yeah.
There you go.
I know you guys can't see it, but I just pointed to my where my heart is with when I said mind, and then where my mind is when I said heart. So that's why it was funny.
I know jokes like that don't always come across in podcasts. Know, we have heart. To always like explain what we're doing.
We always forget that people can't see us sometimes. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of times when you're talking, physical gestures are a big part of, you know, talking. So they're like, when you make that kind of shrugging gesture.
Exactly.
It's kind of hard. You can't do that on a podcast.
Yeah, the facial expressions, everything.
Okay, so I know you've mentioned it before. We're going to talk about Hamilton really quickly. On the podcast, I mean, everyone knows that we're big Hamilton fans here. And Ian, you've had quite a special impact on the Hamilton cast, like even from way in the beginning, like original Broadway cast and even at the public. You were the first to review Hamilton and have since created a special bond, and you got to like perform Ham for Ham and stuff like that. And now your dad is the king on Broadway. So how much does this show mean to you? And I mean, how cool is it that your dad is in like one of your favorite shows that you've admired for so long?
It is amazing. Sometimes I think about it and I'm just kind of like, wow. I can't believe my dad is in my favorite show. Well, one of my favorite shows. I love all Broadway shows. One of my favorite shows. I was like, well, I love all Broadway, so I'm obligated to say one of my favorite
shows. There you go.
There you go.
But first of all, the review thing was actually a happy accident. We weren't really supposed to post it that early.
Oh my God. Fun.
We took it. I decided, you know, we'll take the review and then we can post it in like, I think it was 6 hours. And, you know, when we're allowed to. But I think it was actually supposed to be like 12 hours or something. We had gotten the wrong time. So we put it out after, I don't know, or maybe it was 6 hours and we put it out after like two or something. So we put it out after, you know, however many hours. And then we were like about 4 or 5 hours earlier than all other reviewers and critics. So, yay.
Hey, it's pretty cool that you can say you were like the first to...
to review it because I broke all the rules.
Hey, it's okay.
If they would be okay with anyone breaking the rules, it would be you.
I hope so, because I did. The other thing is, with Dad, I remember I actually made a special Ian Loves Theater announcement like 6 years ago. It was 6 years ago. I was on, no, not this couch because we just got a new couch. I was on our old couch right here in this spot, though.
Yeah.
And I had on my inflatable king crown, which is now upstairs in my room. And I was saying, you know, my dad's going to be in Hamilton and I'm so excited. But I didn't realize how truly amazing it would be to have my dad in Hamilton. Because every time we visit now, you know, I can go backstage with him. I can say hello to everyone. it's just so awesome. He's amazing.
So wait. How long has your dad been in the show? You said 6 years?
It's not... It wasn't 6 years. It was... Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4. It was 3.
3.
That's still a long time.
Now, in those 3... In that 3-year span, how many times have you seen your dad in the show?
I think I saw Dad... Well, I've seen it 7 times, I think. So I saw Dad 4 times. 2 times with... It was maybe Jonathan Groff. And then I saw it once at the Public Theater when it was still Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story.
Sure.
So we waited 8 hours in line for tickets. And Mom was like, do you really want to do this? And I said, yes. And there was a lady there who had already seen it. And we said, is it really good? And she said, it's the most amazing thing I've seen in my life.
Wow.
And so we were kind of like, oh, that's really cool. That's really nice. We kind of were like, ah, no way that's possible. I mean,
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I mean, I love musical theater so much, but there's so many good things out there. One thing can't be the best out of them all. Mm-hmm. Hamilton is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Hamilton is awesome. Yes. How many times have you seen it on Disney Plus?
We have it on loop in our
house. Oh, yeah, I bet.
We've rigged our TV to just continue. I've seen it at least 20 times snippets of it. Like, I saw the whole thing like 3 times, and then at least 20 times just walking by, I've seen parts of it. Sometimes I'll just stop and start singing, which is so fun. Since I know all of it, it's awesome.
Yeah, just have it play the background music.
I'm glad you're not sick of it yet.
Hey, how dare you?
Hey, I'm in the same boat as you. I've seen it about 7 times, and
yeah, we love it.
Can't get sick of it.
I don't understand when people say they're sick of it. I'm just kind of like,
how is that possible?
Okay, that's your opinion, and it's completely wrong.
We have to talk about the obvious, Young Sheldon. How did you go from the youngest and most beloved theater critic to the lead in Young Sheldon? How did you get that role?
Well, actually, it was because of my theater reviews that I started doing auditions for acting. Mm-hmm. So my very first thing was Big Little Lies season 1. And I got that when I was 7. I think I got it when I was 6. And then we started filming when I was 7. I think
casual.
It was like my birthday.
Yeah, you know.
It was amazing because, you know, I didn't go in with any like, oh, I know these people from all their movies, because I was 7. I hadn't seen a lot of movies that the people I worked with were in were not appropriate for a 7-year-old. And also, I didn't really watch that much TV anyway, which is kind of ironic. Yeah, so I went in and I just, my first experience with acting was so many amazing, down-to-earth, funny, kind, nice people who were always willing to, like, you know, give me pointers for, like, everything from, like, where I should stand so the camera can see me to, like, just little things that helped so much. And also, it was just kind of reassuring to have so many people who were so confident. Because, you know, I, of course, was like, is that a camera? I thought a camera looked like this, like those little phones. I was thinking it was like an iPhone. So I was thinking, why do they need those? And it's on a big cart.
It's as big as me.
Yeah, seriously.
The whole camera is larger than my body. But, yeah, so after I got used to the crazy cameras, it's been a wonderful experience. I feel, you know, like I said, I feel very, very lucky because I get to make people happy. That's my job. And, you know, it just feels so good. I'm doing a comedy. I'm doing a funny show with some amazing people, wonderful writers, awesome, awesome cast members. And like, our whole crew is just so kind, so funny, so amazing. And, you know, I feel very lucky.
And so you just auditioned for the role?
Yeah, so I got that when I was 8. So we auditioned at Christmas, during Christmas, at my grandmother's house.
Oh.
So we were in her study, and they gave me like a 2-page monologue that I had to memorize. George Sr. yelled something like, Sheldon, get down here for dinner, or something. And then he said, like, get down here right now, Sheldon, or blah, 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 blah. Or like, I'll take away your you know, library privilege, something weird. Right. Sheldon would not like, I won't let you have any more science things.
You can't do your homework anymore.
I won't let you do your homework, child. So I did that, and I didn't really, you know, Miss Jamie, who's my wonderful, amazing, and awesome agent, had told me this is a pretty big thing. So I wasn't necessarily expecting to get it. It was just a fun audition and a funny one. But when I got it, I had no idea what I was walking into. I didn't really know about the Big Bang Theory. So I went in kind of clueless. And as I started realizing how, you know, big the, it's called the Big Bang Theory. I should have guessed. The Big Bang Theory, I kind of like, I realized how lucky I was to get that part. Wow, luck has really been coming up a lot.
Yeah.
I think we're all very lucky. I think.
Yeah,
definitely.
Theater podcast and are some of the best theater kids around. And I'm getting interviewed by the best theater kids around. I'm lucky.
It's so funny. Before you came on, we were talking about like how you interviewed Sydney before, like at the Tonys and stuff like that. And you used to interview like all the kids. And now we're interviewing you, and it's like all full circle. I love it.
Full circle moment.
Yeah.
I've been on both ends of interviews. So it's funny because whenever I'm getting interviewed, or whenever I am interviewing, I always kind of think like, I've done both of these.
Yeah.
We've talked about that so much. And I almost feel like both help, because if you interview someone, you're a better interviewee because you know what an interviewer is looking for. It's the coolest thing.
And also like being able to know how hard people work. Like interviewers work very hard. You know, you have to think of like good questions. First of all, I gotta say, you guys are some of the best interviewers ever. No offense.
I love you.
You know, it's nice to be on both, like you said.
I love watching your interviews because you are so, whenever you interview people, like specifically like on the red carpet, you are so quick, so witty, and just like honest. I love that about you so much. It's like from the get-go, you've just had like a natural talent for interviewing and being interviewed. So
seriously,
well, you guys also have that talent, so I guess it takes one to know one.
Thank you. Look at you.
It's such an honor. I know.
So knowledgeable.
Thank you guys. And also, I just want to say, wait, one other thing. You guys are Hamilton kids. I want to mention one thing that we forgot to mention when we were talking about Hamilton.
Yeah.
I guess we're always talking about Hamilton, but we're always never focusing on Hamilton entirely with this conversation. I like to say I was the first Hamilton kid because I was one of the first, like, I was the first child.
Little man.
Small child. Small child. So I like to call myself the first Hamilton kid, so.
Aww. That is perfect.
I love it.
I love that so much.
I wish I had that like tattooed my arm. Hamilton kid for life.
That'll be your first tattoo.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I have no doubt. I love it. Right across your forehead. Badge of honor.
Tattoo, mind you, I do not like needles. But
you don't want to get a tattoo?
Temporary.
That's fair. That's complete. I mean, sometimes it for acting, it might be.
You got a heart. So yeah. Tattoo across my chest.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say, like two sleeves of tattoos without telling my manager.
It's like I kind of got a tattoo across my forehead.
I hope you don't mind.
And then Hamilton.
But my hair is covering it, but there is a tattoo under there.
Can you imagine if you just got a face tattoo and then like during quarantine and then went back to young Sheldon and been like, God. I hope you don't mind.
The makeup artist would kill me. Who does my makeup for the show, she would say like, hey, and what have you done? I would not want to face that.
Oh,
I wouldn't want to either.
Her makeup brushes are sharp on the other end.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm just
they're dangerous
her, and if you're rude I'll turn the other end.
Heck yeah.
You've heard of sword fighting, but have you heard of makeup brush fighting?
Oh my
yeah,
god,
like sword fighting, yeah.
Makeup brush fighting.
You're definitely inventing
that would be fun.
So many things. Just on
imagine a makeup brush fight in the. Do you do trailers or do you
war paint?
Yeah.
And also, I made a musical theater reference. Wow.
Yeah, I love it.
You're always killing it. So quick.
Okay, so like you were saying, literally, you were 8 years old when you started Young Sheldon. So I know that you, like, didn't know, like, the Big Bang Theory, but you had to have known, like, obviously, the show is called Young Sheldon, and you were playing Young Sheldon. Like, what was the process of, like, taking on a character of that caliber? And then, like, once you figured out the whole thing about the Big Bang Theory, how even more exciting was it for you?
Well, first of all, I've always kind of wanted to be called Young Coopers, because I think a lot of times people think, like, oh, Young Sheldon, it's about Sheldon. But it's not really all about Sheldon. You know, we get to see, like, the story of everyone in our family from, you know, Meemaw to Missy. Ooh, two M's. Meemaw to Missy. That sounded cool.
Alliteration.
Yeah, nice. A lot of alliteration.
I love it.
Yeah, I like when you can incorporate the meaning of the word into the word. Like
Young Coopers from Meemaw to Missy. I love that so much. That has a ring to it.
That has a good little ring to it, yeah. Yeah, anyway, we get to explore the lives and kind of the plots of all these characters. But because I did know that I was taking on a big role, even though I didn't know how big at the time, I did know that it was a big role. So many people talk about the Big Bang Theory, and even though I didn't know what that was, I was certainly aware of it.
Sure.
So, yeah, I actually remember during Big Little Lies, we visited Warner Brothers, and I saw a Big Bang Theory poster, and I said, what's that? I saw, like, you know, we saw, like, Harry Potter posters, and I think we saw like, a bunch of old Warner Brothers movies and, like, Harry Potter and thing. Very famous, iconic things that, like, everyone knows about. And I was just kind of like, what's Big Bang? I think I actually even might have asked Miss Moore, because she was also my teacher on Big Little Lies.
Oh, wow.
No way.
That's so crazy.
Taking that on, Mr. Jim Parsons actually kind of helped me, well, to get down the Sheldon voice, because that mid-Atlantic accent is very hard to nail. And, I've been losing it over quarantine. I got to practice.
Oh, but, no.
That mid-Atlantic accent.
Quick, you aren't allowed to do the rest of the interview in your own accent. You have to do it in your Sheldon accent.
Sheldon.
Yes, you can practice here.
I will not allow you to do any more of this interview if you sound like Ian. I was trying to
Sheldon starting
wait,
now.
I was already Sheldon, so now I'm going back to Ian. Because
now you're going back to Ian.
Reverse right. Psychology.
Reverse
psychology.
Psychology. Psychology. Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember what we were talking about now. So I just felt very good because, you know, I got to work hard, make people happy, but also I knew that since I was a pretty important character to it, I knew that I could, I don't know, if I do my best, I knew that...
You could do it justice.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. I knew that it was a very important thing, and Mr. Jim Parsons is so amazing, and I've seen a lot of clips of Big Bang Theory. Still kind of inappropriate, so not full episodes, but clips, a lot of clips.
Okay.
So, you know, I wanted to do Mr. Jim Parsons proud, so...
Oh, that's amazing.
For the past 3 seasons.
Did you study him at all?
Well, we had some kind of like sessions where we'd kind of get together and talk about Sheldon and his manners, not just his voice, but also like how he behaves, what he feels, just kind of get down to be able to kind of slide into Sheldon more easily.
Sure.
I
like to say, you know, like when I'm wearing the Sheldon costume, I actually do feel more like Sheldon. A lot of people say stuff like that, but it really does.
Makes sense.
But just to kind of get Sheldon down. So I have studied him a bit, also in clips and things when I was learning the character.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I come into set, I just kind of, I mean, there's not really one point in the day where I turn into Sheldon. It's sort of like, you know, I'm getting on my clothes, I go up to hair and makeup, I do all those different things. And then when I come out, it's Sheldon.
Voila. Yeah.
It's kind of like flipping a switch, but it takes a little kind of, yeah.
Sure, you got to, yeah.
Those are like a big part.
You slowly build the character throughout like the morning, and then all of a sudden, like, whoa, how'd I get here?
Whoa, I'm here.
It's kind of like growing up. Like, you don't actively know you're growing up until all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what?
And suddenly you're like, I'm Sheldon now.
Exactly.
It's weird because during lunch, I'm kind of like two people.
Yeah.
Sheldon and Ian.
Oh, because you have the clothes on and then you're yourself.
Right.
Most recently, you had a movie come out that you were recently in called Scoob, and you played the voice of young Shaggy, correct?
I did.
Yes. Okay. So obviously that's quite a big difference from doing young Sheldon. Do you like the process of just voice acting and like the animation and everything like that?
I really do love doing live action because, you know, I can express, like we were saying earlier, you can express more through moving your body around and like I'm doing with my arms right now, but no one can see it. it's kind of a little bit easier with live action. But when you're doing voice, it's actually really fun because occasionally they'll have already animated a scene so you can see the character while you're doing it. So they'll have like, it goes like, dee, 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 and then you say your line right at that dude. It kind of sounds like that game Simon.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's usually only 2 hours because they don't want your voice to get tired. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh no, my voice is so raspy from doing 2 hours of this. Yeah, my voice doesn't get that raspy that easily, so. I'm half fine with it. And then also, like, you could come up in your pajamas and they don't care. I mean, actually,
yeah.
I'm wearing pajama bottoms right now. I guess that's what everyone's doing during quarantine.
Me too. Oh,
nice. I'm a professional and I'm still wearing my pajama bottoms, but you can't
see. So am I. The audience can't see because podcast.
Yes.
They'll never know.
They'll never know the truth.
Oh my God. I love it.
I love that.
It's very Christmassy right now.
Yeah, yes. I was about to say, like, it's like very Christmassy.
I know you guys can't see it, so I'm wearing a red t-shirt and red and gray pajama bottoms. So, yes, I'm very
close to a candy cane, but not
quite. Yeah, candy cane. And you're matching with your pillow.
Oh, and.
And his couch. Oh, my God. I love it.
This is crazy. Okay.
Amazing.
This is such a feeling. I can't even imagine. This conversation has gone to new heights.
I know. So coordinated.
I know you mentioned it before because you were talking about your Young Sheldon cast, and you're actually working with incredible people, but one of my good friends, Annie Potts. So what has that been like for you? Like, you guys seem like you have such a special bond, and even to this day, like, I still, her and I text every once in a while, so I love her, so tell her I say hello when you see her.
Of course, and also, I feel like Miss Annie's one of those people that, first of all, she's instantly likable. Like, she's a very funny, nice, outgoing, sweet, and amazing lady. Second of all, I feel like every time someone meets her, they automatically, I think of her as my Mima, my Miss Annie, my grandma, kind of. And I think a lot of people feel that way because she's just so fun to hang around with. You're like, she's my Mima.
Yeah.
I've gotten into numerous fights about my Mima. No, my Mima. No, me and Reagan and me and Miss Annie's friends. It's just very mature. But Miss Annie's just a really nice person. Like, she's like the kind of person where you kind of almost can't help but fall in love with her. She's like, aww, sweet, funny, awesome, nice, and she makes really good tortilla quesadilla thingamajig. Tortilla quesadillas.
Oh, it's the best.
She does like three different cheeses, so it's like a blend and it tastes so good.
So good.
She makes the cheese get crispy on the pan too, because, oh.
Yes, she's the best.
She's
really taken you, like, it seems like from my experience working from her and then hearing what you're saying, she really takes people under her wing and kind of just looks after them and is seriously like your own personal Mima. I love it.
Mima, remember?
I'm sorry. You have
said about getting into fights. Who's Mima?
Yes, of course. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Eli and I were actually talking about this before, how we like see photos of you and her on your Instagram, and you can tell the bond is really strong. So, and it comes through on TV as well.
Totally.
Yeah, my grandma, my real grandma, visited set once, and we had a scene. You know that episode where we're playing video games? So we get into video games, and then we stay
up.
And then Mary comes in. That whole episode, we had a scene where it was just us playing the video game when we first get it. First of all, I love scenes where it's just me and Miss Annie.
Yeah.
Why?
They're so cute.
They're very funny. But my grandma was saying, you guys should just keep the camera rolling, because even when you're not Sheldon and Meemaw, you're still kind of Sheldon and Meemaw, because just the way, like, we interact and we talk, it's all very, it feels a lot like a grandchild-grandmother conversation.
Relationship. Yeah, that's awesome.
But anyway, yeah, so I miss her very much. One of the worst parts of quarantine, of not being able to see her, and then also, well, I miss everyone in California. I miss her, and I miss being able to go to the park. Those are my.
Aww.
I have a lot of friends who I miss. Actually, one of the reasons I got into Russian was a lot of people at the park that I love to go to in California speak Russian. And a lot of people actually only speak Russian, so I wanted to learn at least a little bit so that I could.
I love that.
Can you say hello real quick in Russian?
Well, there are three ways. There's привет, there's здравствуйте, which is kind of formal to like an older person or to someone, like you would say that, it's kind of a fancy. And
okay.
Which is kind of like здравствуйте, but not quite. So like I would say здравствуйте to you guys if it was kind of like not formal, like привет would just kind of be like, hey, what's up? Sure. Здравствуй would be like hello, and здравствуйте would be like hello, your grace.
Oh,
your
so
accent
awesome.
Is so cool.
Yeah,
like obviously I don't speak, but it sounds really good.
It's possible. I have.
Nice.
Thank you, I'm Russian. But I think I inherited that from my granddad. He speaks Vietnamese so well that if he's on the phone, you can't tell that he's not, like, born and raised in Vietnam.
No wow. way.
He's that good. And he's eaten, like, every animal on the face of the planet. He's had, like, giraffe, wow. and snake, and
Whoa.
Dog. Crazy.
That's yeah. crazy.
That's
I don't
crazy.
Actually eat a giraffe. I try to quiz him every time.
That's
yeah.
bravery right there.
How yeah. far on the animal ladder would you go?
I like, would go none because I'm a vegetarian.
The craziest thing I've ever eaten.
None. If I did eat meat, I would probably like weird thing. Like if I did eat meat, I would probably like eating like bugs and snake and stuff. But I don't. So
yeah.
What's the craziest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh God. I like weird food combos.
Nice. What's your favorite food combo?
Oh, goodness, let me think. Well, that actually wasn't that weird. I'm trying to think of one of my weirder ones.
Weird food combos?
Pickles and bananas.
That pickles. Sounds so good.
Whoa.
I feel like peanut butter, pickles, bananas, and like a little bit of cinnamon or cheese or something.
What?
Cinnamon cheese. They're kind of right up there.
Wild.
You know what my all-time favorite sandwich is?
What?
Peanut butter jelly and pickles and dill pickles. It's my number one.
My goodness.
Literally, I tasted it. It's totally expecting to hate it. I literally was like prepping my face to hate it, and I was like, "This is unnaturally good."
It's actually really good because it's kind of like pickles
highly recommend.
Aren't sweet, but they're like, I mean, some pickles are sweet, but like pickles
like
are kind
butter.
Of they got a little bit of something tang to them.
Vinegary, yeah.
Very, it kind of has to be like very sweet jelly though, or jam or whatever. Because
sure.
like if it's not, if you kind of want to have those clash kind of a little bit.
Yeah.
And then peanut butter because peanut butter. Because
peanut butter. Yeah, you have the same.
I don't
you
think
have
there's
the...
any more reason needed from peanut butter.
That's
exactly.
Right.
You got the savory in the peanut butter. You got the like vinegary and crunchy from the pickle. And you got the sweetness from, it's like, it's crazy
and
how well it meshes together.
And crunchy toast. But it's kind of.
And crunchy toast.
I could talk about gross food combos for years. It's kind of so weird. Nice. A lot of people, I think it's also like, this kind of applies to life. I think a lot of people go into things with kind of a closed mind. That's why I think one reason I love learning languages is I think it's so important to learn about like other cultures and to learn about, I think food especially, food and music are two big things. If you want to learn about a culture, food and music.
Oh yeah.
But I think one reason it's important to try things with an open mind, unless it's meat, because vegetarian. one reason.
High five! I'm a vegetarian too.
Yeah, Eli.
I couldn't survive without meat. I'm sorry. I ruined it. Chicken fingers are like the only thing I eat. It's so bad.
Well, it's okay.
I'm sorry. I let you down.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. No, it's okay. It's okay.
If it makes you feel better, I don't eat fish, so I don't, or seafood, so I don't kill any of those animals.
Okay.
I don't know if that is. I don't know if that does you justice.
Okay. I'm so glad the fishes aren't being harmed.
Yeah, save the turtles.
I kill all the pigs, but the fish are okay now. Well, we have all fish, so at least you're not a cannibal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He said with a question in his voice. Yeah, I think it's important to go in things with an open mind.
Yeah.
Totally, 100%. Question, do you eat cereal?
Yeah.
First of all, it's the best food in the world. 24/7, eat cereal.
I think cereal's like 50% of my diet.
That's awesome.
Dude,
it gets unhealthy. Cheerios are my favorite because there's so many. First of all, it's a little, it's like a little donut. It's like a bunch of little donuts. They're delicious. And also I love Cheerios because, you know, you could get, if you don't like sugar, you can get plain. If you like sugar,
yeah.
You can get, they have chocolate Cheerios. They have like honey Cheerios. They have so many different, they have like cinnamon Cheerios. So you can get whatever you want. They go great with anything. When I was 2, I made like cucumber and Cheerio hors d'oeuvres because I just learned what hors d'oeuvres were.
Wow.
Very good. Like, would you like the cucumber and Cheerio hors d'oeuvres?
You're such a fancy little guy.
Cheerios got very soggy very quickly.
My point is, I would. Have you ever tried putting ice in your cereal?
What?
I know. I would highly recommend it. Trust me, it's not going to water it down. It's going to make it so cold. And it's, I swear, I was positive I was going to hate it. Please try it. Just try it once. It changed my life.
Wait, so like you would freeze milk and then cut it? Or like,
no, you would literally just, you would put your cereal and milk in and then just put ice cubes in it.
Wow.
Just a couple ice cubes.
Just like a, yeah. Would crushed ice work or no?
Probably. I don't know if they would melt.
Yeah, I actually agree. Crushed ice is, it's kind of weird. Our fridge doesn't really do it right. Wow, we have feared off topic. I just realized
we're
talking about what tastes best in cereal.
I know, I'm getting really hungry right now. I have to admit.
Same. I think there was actually a cereal place that made like chicken and waffle cereal or something.
What?
I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Go have chicken and waffle cereal, Eli.
Oh, no.
I'm okay. I'll stick to chicken fingers.
That's fine. Oh my God, that's great. What if we don't do that?
Yeah, maybe not.
Okay, so here's what we're going to play a game now called
New
Two
Game.
It's a new game.
New game.
We're gonna play a new game now. And yeah, it's called Two Truths and a Lie. So basically what's gonna happen is all of us have pretty much prepared 3 statements. 2 of these statements are true statements about us. 1 of them is a lie. And so the objective of this game is, for example, let's say Ian says his 3 statements. 2 of them are true statements, 1 of them is a lie. Eli and I don't know which one is the lie. And our objective is to guess which one is the lie. So what's going to happen is Ian's going to say his 3 statements. I'm going to set a timer for 1 minute. And Eli and I can ask him anything to try and figure out what the lie is. And at the end, we're going to put our guesses in. And we'll go through. We'll all have our 3 statements.
Yeah, we'll all have an opportunity.
You ready? Ian, do you want to go first?
Okay, 1 second. I need a second to get my creative juices flowing.
You're not allowed.
Okay. He's like, no, how dare you? You cannot let your creative juices flow. If you want to make a reference to Shrek, you cannot let your freak flag fly.
That's
you
right.
Cannot.
Another great example of alliteration. I love Shrek.
Freak flag fly,
so good at alliteration.
I love. That's why I'm on this podcast. All right. My first
love
one.
That. Love that.
I've had 3 hamsters before, Isla, Molly, and Natasha. My second statement, one time I made my mom a unicorn for Valentine's Day, like a unicorn out of, like it's like a paper mache unicorn with like pictures glued on and things. And my last statement is, I need my juices flowing.
Get your juices flowing, got it.
All right, let me think.
I think this is the lie.
Don't say anything. Sure, you don't know things.
Bold prediction beforehand.
And one time I went to get a tintype picture of me, my mom, and my dad all dressed as Civil War people just so that I could say we found a picture of my relatives in our attic and they look just like us.
Whoa. Okay, I'll set a timer right now. Ready? 3, 2.
Sorry,
oh, definitely. I almost, never mind. Hold on. I almost said it for 60 minutes. Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
Okay. 60 seconds. Starting in 3, 2, 1. Okay. Okay. So why specifically a unicorn?
Because unicorns are awesome.
Okay.
Glitter?
True.
What is, okay, so this whole hamster thing, I'm stuck on this. So you had three of them, but is this at the same time or over the span of... It's not the same time? Okay.
They hate each other, so they weren't at the same time.
Got it.
Do you have a hamster right now?
I do have a hamster right now, yes.
When did you get your first hamster?
First hamster I got like a year ago.
And wow. You've had three since then?
Oh, no. The first one is still alive.
Oh, okay.
10 more seconds. Ooh.
This unicorn. So it was,
what's your mom's favorite animal?
My favorite animal is probably an ape.
Okay. Right, timer's up. Unicorn
thing though. Okay. Okay. My guess is the last one with the, you had to frame your family.
My guess is the first one just cause I don't know.
Right.
I'm right.
Know who it is. First of all, Eli.
Oh my God. No way. What? He has it right next to him. I love it.
No way. He literally is showing us the photo right now. That is insane. Oh my God.
Type of me carrying a really cool looking sword. My dad also carrying a really cool looking sword. And we're dressed in these really uncomfortable clothes.
That is literally the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Judging everyone. And then, all right. The thing was, the hamsters, I have had three hamsters. The one I have now is named Natasha, and the first hamster is named Isla, but I lied about the middle name. It was actually Poppy, not Molly.
Oh! Interesting.
Okay. Ooh, sneaky.
Wasn't a straight up lie.
It was just you changed a part of it.
Wheels within wheels.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Eli, your turn.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah. Let me get my notes out. Okay.
1-0.
Yeah, I have 0. The loser. Okay.
Nice.
I have been nominated for 2 different awards. I was in a show at Carnegie Hall, and I've cracked on stage once in my life.
Okay. Setting the timer in 3, 2, 1. Which two awards were you nominated for?
A Jeff Award for my performance in Trevor and a Broadway World Award for my performance in Trevor.
What show were you in when you cracked on stage?
Finding Neverland.
Ah. And what year was that?
What show?
2016.
What show were you in Carnegie Hall? What was that about?
It's called Road to Promise. And it was I was a little student and I had a rabbi and he was like teaching me about like Jewish heritage. I'm not Jewish, though. So it was interesting.
Interesting. Okay, and what song was it in Finding Neverland?
When Your Feet Don't Touch the Ground. Yikes, he's so embarrassing. Okay.
All right. Let me think about what else.
We're done. It's going off.
Well,
okay. Ian, what's your guess?
I feel like if you were lying about Finding Neverland, you were lying very well. So I was, when you started to kind of hesitate during When Your Feet Don't Touch the Ground, I was kind of like, ooh, maybe I've got him. But I could imagine someone cracking during that song. It's a very emotional song. But I don't know. I'm not entirely, I mean, you're Carnegie Hall material, but I feel like I would have heard about this, man. Oh, wait.
It's so funny.
I'm going to have to say it was Carnegie Hall that I was the line.
I'm going to say purely because Eli has just, things work out for him in weird ways. And I have never in my entire life heard you crack, Eli, ever. Even when you were going through puberty and Trevor, you didn't crack. So your voice was, by the way, Ian, we went to a middle school together when we were like 11. Eli was the top soprano. Isn't that crazy?
I miss
exactly,
it.
Exactly like that. So I'm going to say the last one because I've never heard you crack in my entire life.
Sydney's really good at this game. Sydney's correct. Yay. I've never cracked on stage before. And honestly, I was really scared because in Trevor, I was 14, so, like, I should have already hit puberty, and I didn't. And, I was like worried that like any day it was gonna happen, and it never did.
So lucky. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, things just weirdly work out for him like that. Yeah. It's annoying.
Alrighty then.
Even I have cracked. I've cracked on stage so many times. It's crazy.
I've never cracked on stage because I haven't cracked on stage. So.
There
it's
you go.
All good.
Yeah. Okay.
We know the truth.
It's like, ha.
Okay, I'll set the timer for this one as well. Okay, ready?
Miss Lucas.
Oh, I got so nervous. Why? Okay. Number one, I am deathly afraid of elevators and escalators. Number two, I wash all my dishes by hand. And number three, the only bone I ever broke was my tailbone.
I know it. I think.
Do you?
I'm pretty sure.
Do you? Okay, ready? Hold on. Let me set a... Okay, minute. You have a minute.
When did your fear of elevators and escalators start?
When did it start? When I was like 13. I have no clue why. I am so afraid of them.
Do you have a dishwasher?
Yes, I have a dishwasher.
See, I don't believe you do. I don't believe you do have a dishwasher.
I do have a dishwasher.
Ma'am. You do? I feel like when
I
went
no,
to
I wouldn't lie about that.
Okay.
No, it's a white dishwasher. I have a white dishwasher.
Okay.
Say
okay.
What?
We're in a game where you have to lie. So. I feel like this
is fair.
No, I'm not lying about the dishwasher. I have a dishwasher.
Did you fracture your tailbone or break it?
What?
Okay.
Did you fracture your tailbone or break it?
I think a part of it like split because I was on a pull-up bar that fell. It was actually before. Do you know the movie Logan? It was before my callback for Logan. I was doing pull-ups on the bar. I had it set up on my door, and my brother was with me, and it just fell, and I smashed my tailbone on the floor.
Ooh.
Oh, God, I'm really scared.
Okay, I'll let Ian guess.
If neither of us get this right, we're just going to show that Sydney's the best out of all of us.
That's so true.
That will actually not really be a problem because we already knew that, but...
Seriously.
And pretending is so hard.
It's not like that's what we do for a living.
I kind of want to say the dishes thing. Wait.
Okay.
You go first.
No. You go first.
You go first, Eli.
Okay. It's the tailbone. It's the tailbone for me. I think you broke your arm, I believe.
When? Okay.
Tailbone. Oh, wait, no, I'm checking. There's not really much to fracture, is there?
Yeah, well, that was the other thing.
I never got an x-ray. It was purely an examination. So you can't really x-ray a tailbone. And here's the thing. It's hard to know if your tailbone, like, is actually... So it's kind of an invasive... Like, if you want to, like, actually know if your tailbone is broken, it's a very, like... invasive thing.
Okay,
there's pretty much no x-ray for it.
Okay. I've narrowed it down. I think it's either the dishes or the tailbone. Sydney, you're a good liar. This is scary.
I agree.
You're either a good actor or a good liar or both.
I don't know, man. I've learned my tells, I think.
I think Eli should go first because he looks more confident.
I went first.
Oh, yeah.
He guessed the tailbone one.
I say the tailbone one. Oh, good. I'm going to say dishes, but I probably am wrong.
Okay. So Eli is right. I do wash my dishes by hand, and I am deathly afraid of elevators and escalators. The thing did actually happen. I was doing pull-ups on a bar in my own home, and the bar just slipped from the doorway, and I smashed my tailbone on the floor. I didn't break it. I just bruised it.
You've done some, but you've broken something, right?
Never broken
you
a bone.
Broken anything. Okay.
Wait, no. Oh.
Okay.
I love how your logic for your answer was like, no, because I think you have broken a bone before.
Well, I couldn't remember. I feel like when we played soccer in the courtyard at our school, I thought you broke something, but I'm wrong.
That was so wrong.
Oh, right. You're so right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But I'm glad I got it right anyways. You know what it was for me? What it really was the whole... Well, I thought that was it from the get-go. But then when he kind of like stuttered on the whole, did you break it or did you fracture it? Great question, by the way, Ian.
Amazing question. Yeah, that's amazing.
I was like, I definitely think it's that one.
Incredible. Okay, nice job, guys.
Like, maybe. But then I thought about the dishes thing when you was like, yeah, I have a dishwasher.
So here's the thing. I do have a dishwasher, but it's broken currently.
Oh, okay.
We need to get it repaired, so all of us have to hand wash our own dishes.
Huh, all right.
Okay, so wait. What was the final score?
I'm still the first Hamill kid.
I'm the first Hamill kid. Hey, that's the top accomplishment here.
Okay. So you get a point for every person you fool and for every person you guess. So I have 3 points.
Wait, so you have 3 points.
I have two.
I have one. Wait. One. Yeah, I have one.
No, you fooled me.
Yeah, I fooled you. So 1 point.
Oh, because
I did. You're right.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Ian.
This was fun. Nice job. And here's the thing. Ian came up with those on the spot.
Yeah, that was crazy. Sydney and I prepared ours.
On the spot, so.
Yeah, go Ian. That was so good. He got those mental juices flowing, and then it was all good.
Well, thank you so much, Ian. This was truly a blast. You literally come back anytime. Once we learn Russian, we can do an entire podcast in Russian.
I love it.
Wow.
And keep it up. We're so proud of you. And
I just wanted to say just thank you for doing this and for giving us your time. We know you're crazy busy. It's been so fun to like ever since. I mean, like, I'm not like I'm a kid still, but it has been fun like watching you grow up and, you know, just see what comes next. And I can't wait to see what's next after Young Sheldon for you. Thank you for doing this. And it's been great talking to you and catching up.
Thank you guys so much. We're the future of Broadway, so we gotta keep our Broadway knowledge and our Broadwaying sharp while this is going on.
That's right.
You're so inspiring. Thank you so much. And I am really afraid of Sydney because she's really good at lying. And also,
oh no,
someone else is lying.
I mean, that Tony nominee was no fool.
Hey. We love you, Ian, and that is not a lie whatsoever. We love you so much, and thank you so much.
Thank
you. I'll see you guys later.
Take a bow, Ian Armitage.
Yeah.
This was such a fun episode. He's so funny. He literally, Cindy and I were laughing the entire time and smiling ear to ear. I loved playing Two Truths and a Lie. As our first time, he was the perfect guest to play it with.
I know. And he was so quick. He just made it up on the spot.
I loved it. And then he told us afterwards that all of those little truths and lies that he came up with, he found literally in the room that he was recording in. So I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, there you go. I mean, that's all you need, you know? It was awesome. And it was cool to like see just, you could tell when he was talking about it, just how much he loves theater and how he's so happy and thankful to be doing what he loves to do and making people smile and everything. So it's just so cool to see that.
It really is. And also just his maturity when talking about all of the ways in which he's, I don't know, like grateful for the life that he has and how he just like thinks about those things. And just like from the second I met him, he just like blew my mind at and I'll say this constantly, he's just the most incredible. I mean, he's like 12, isn't he? He's just 12 years old.
Yeah.
He's
so well spoken for 12. Like, he's so outgoing. He's so well spoken. And it's cool because, like, you know, when we were his age, when we were doing Fun Home and Finding Neverland and like on Broadway and doing stuff and working with incredible people, that I don't know about you, but like at the time, I really didn't understand that. And I get to appreciate it more and more every day. Like as I start to understand and it starts to like really sink in of how lucky and what a great opportunity it was. But it seems like him, like at 12 years old,
literally,
he understands like these people that I'm working with are like incredible. And I I'm so lucky to be doing what I'm doing right now. Like, he just gets it. And I think that's just so admirable to listen.
And he's so present in the moment always, which I love. And we mm-hmm. literally could have talked to him for hours. And like, after we got off, we continued to talk and just like, he showed us his hamsters. He showed us some like Russian songs.
Oh my God, he's obsessed with Russian. I thought that was hilarious.
The next time, Ian, if you're listening to this, the next time you come on the podcast, it's going to be a full Russian podcast. Just so we can practice.
We definitely need to have a Russian conversation. A conversation in Russian. That's it.
I know. I feel so old. I was thinking about this. I feel so old because he's currently older than I was when he interviewed me on the Tony Awards red carpet. And that just blows my mind. And that makes me feel like a grandma.
Please. You're literally like 17. You're not a grandma. That's too funny.
I know, but it's crazy just how time flies. And he just continues to grow up into the most intelligent and kindest human being.
Yeah, I seriously can't wait to see what's next for him and see where his journey goes, because he's definitely going to be very successful and
his future is brighter than the sun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, look at his present. Like,
crazy. That's what I was saying. Like, yeah.
You know, I mean, he worked with like all these incredible people. And
literally.
He's amazing at what he does.
We are so beyond proud.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, honestly, because we've known him, and like, not to sound like a grandma or grandpa, like, we've literally watched him grow up. And
I've
it's
known
like,
you
cool
since
to see
you
where
were a little munchkin.
I know. I used to hate when people say that about me. So, Ian, I'm sorry that we're saying this right now.
No, but he's like our little brother. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's how I think of him. I think of him as like a little brother.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely family. Part of the fam.
Yeah.
All right. So that about wraps it up. We will see you all next week with another special guest and episode 16, which is pretty exciting. That's a full 4 months.
I know.
Take a bow.
Thank you so much, Ian, for coming on. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Come back next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.